New charges against the Beardstown man have been filed in connection to the death of a child earlier this month. 28-year-old Jose Nieto Roman was charged by Cass County State's Attorney Matt Mays with two counts of murder and one count of aggravated battery to a child yesterday. Nieto Roman was the live-in boyfriend of a woman who called for medical assistance on behalf of her child at 617 Wall Street the morning of November 1st. The baby was taken to Culbertson Hospital in Rushville, where the 8-month-old was pronounced dead. Police say autopsy results revealed blunt force trauma and third-degree burns to the baby. State police say Nieto Roman returned to the scene as the investigation was taking place, and he apparently removed knives and began injuring himself before being taken into custody. He had been at a local hospital recovering. Nieto Roman remains in custody at the Morgan County Jail, where he was booked on Sunday on initial charges of child endangerment. He's being held on $5 million bond and was served a warrant on new charges at the jail yesterday by state police. A California man is in custody after allegedly being caught with at least 10 pounds of marijuana. 44-year-old William Vaughn of North Highlands was booked at the Morgan County Jail at around 1:45 this morning for cannabis trafficking, possession of more than 5,000 grams of cannabis, and aggravated fleeing or eluding police. We'll have more details when they are available. Vaughn remains in custody. Morgan County deputies made one other arrest last night. 33-year-old Nicholas Thomas of Afton, Missouri, was arrested on Route 267 in Woodson for possession of drug paraphernalia and an out-of-county warrant for failure to appear for knowingly damaging property at around 8 p.m., Thomas remains in custody. Jacksonville police made five arrests last night. 39-year-old Gene Knapp of Eldred was booked at the Morgan County Jail for retail theft at around 2:30. Knapp has been released on bond. Two 17-year-olds, one boy and one girl, and 18-year-old Jose Valdez of Beardstown were arrested for retail theft in the 1900 block of West Morton at around 3:30. Valdez has been released on bond. The boy and girl have been released into the custody of their parents. 19-year-old Jalissa Graham of the 1900 block of West Morton was arrested for retail theft and criminal trespass to property in the 1900 block of West Morton at around 5:30 p.m. Graham remains in custody. 29-year-old Tad Mitchell of the 600 block of North Clay was picked up in the 200 block of West Walnut for retail theft at around 9 p.m. Mitchell has been released on bond. Here's a reminder to get moving if you have plans to run for an alderman seat in Jacksonville and haven't picked up the paperwork yet. The petition filing period for nonpartisan municipalities began on Monday and ends next Monday. Interested participants can pick up information and documents at the city clerk's office at 200 West Douglas from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. The consolidated primary election is set for February 24th, with a consolidated election happening April 7th. There are five positions total, with the seats in wards 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Respectively, the aldermen that hold those seats now are Bill Scott, Tony Williams, Bruce McDaniel, Jenny Gennart, and Don Cook. If you have questions, call 479-4613. Also, the Village of South Jacksonville's office will be open on December 15th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and from 3 to 5 p.m. from December 16th to the 22nd for the purpose of accepting candidate petitions for the consolidated election. Three trustee positions are open each for four-year terms. Additional office hours can be scheduled by calling Clerk Danny Glasscock at 370-4503. Petition packets are available at the South Jacksonville Village Hall or can be downloaded at elections.il.gov. And this reminder, the city of Jacksonville is informing residents of a peddler's permit that remains in effect today and tomorrow. Permit number 1465 was issued to Constellation Energy Marketing. It went into effect on Tuesday. Jacksonville Mayor Andy Ezzard was in Springfield yesterday to talk about firefighters unions wanting the ability to negotiate the number of crew members each piece of equipment carries. A bill in the Illinois General Assembly would give them that. Ezzard, along with other mayors and fire chiefs in the Capitol yesterday, don't like it.
Two big concerns of me for a Jacksonville standpoint. is definitely budget constraints. If we add on one fireman, that means adding on three, potentially $200,000 to a bottom line, which we don't have. That takes away capital improvement projects. Actually, it could take away fire safety if we have to not buy a truck that we need or equipment that we need.
As he has good dialogue with the union and firemen, but he says the chief, which he picks, and just recently selected a new one, is the person he talks to daily. He says if his chief tells him he has staffing issues, he listens.
I'm big on chain of command. If my fire chief says that we need to step it up, Andy, we need more people, then I'll fight for the firemen to make more people with the aldermen. That's the charge of a mayor. That's why I'm elected.
Ezard also dislikes the idea of the issue of staffing going to an arbitrator.
An arbitrator doesn't know fire safety. He does not know fire science. Our fire chief and our firefighters do. We've had good dialogue over the years. The legislature should not pass this bill. I'll stand firm on this, and I know my other colleagues up here feel the same way, but very passionate about this.
Pat Devaney, president of the Associated Firefighters of Illinois, says elected leaders don't have to be afraid to negotiate with fire unions how many firefighters are on a piece of equipment.
Arbitrators only have the ability to hear and consider if the parties can't reach agreement at the table, mandatory subjects of bargaining. And why I think there's been so much distortion out there is that the term itself sounds so onerous. It sounds like every collective bargaining agreement is going to have a manning provision.
And for this bill, it's House Bill 5485. It has passed the Senate Executive Committee. And also in Springfield yesterday, lawmakers in the House shot down the governor's veto of a bill impacting the state's Freedom of Information Act. Here's Ryan Hermes with more.
The measure, which lawmakers passed in the spring and the governor vetoed over the summer, would allow governments to charge higher fees to process Freedom of Information Act requests. The governor, in vetoing the bill, said it would reduce transparency. State Representative Jack Franks agrees.
This is not how government should be done. We should not require people to pay a FOIA tax to get information that is rightfully theirs.
But the bill sponsor, State Representative Barbara Flynn Curry, says the bill gives government some leverage when dealing with excessive or harassing FOIA requests. The bill now moves to the Illinois Senate. At the Illinois Capitol, I'm Ryan Hermes.
What makes a great bank? A great banking staff. This is Lacey Sorrell, customer service representative here at Premier Bank. Our customers are a part of our family. We take time to make sure your accounts and services work for you. From online banking to our full-service mortgage department, Premier Bank is your hometown bank. See us today, 1604 West Morton, or online at premierbanksonline.com. Premier Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Glancing at news notes this morning, the Humanities film series continues tonight with The Motorcycle Diaries. It'll be at 6:30 in the basement of the Jacksonville Public Library. Blood drives will be held today at McMurray College from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and at Triopia High School from noon to 6 o'clock. The Cass County Overall Economic Development Committee meets at 9:30 this morning in Beardstown at the City Council Chambers. The Cass County Communities Animal Control Commission will meet at 7 p.m. in the Cass County Highway Department in Virginia. The Central Illinois Food Bank Mobile Food Pantry will be at the JHS Bowl at 215 South Church at 5 o'clock tonight. And the Jacksonville Area Center for Independent Living will hold its next Knowledge is Power event from 11:30 to 1:30 today at 15 Permack Road. The topic, depression and seasonal affective disorder.
Bulletin News is on the air and online as it happens. Don't forget to check us out on the radio at 1180 AM or 107.1 FM.